our KHDK NBA insider from USA Today, Sam Amick. Sam, how are you?
Gentlemen, happy holidays. Doing well. How are you?
We were actually discussing, is the Amick house fully, and I'm being serious, we were discussing this, is the Amick house fully Christmas decorated?
Yeah, it's pretty decked out. I threw a little shot up on Instagram last week trying to share a little bit of the festivities. As you guys, I've talked about before, we live at the end of this court, and we got a little bit of a Griswold component going on between myself and a couple of the other houses, and a little bit of a friendly rivalry. You know, you put up an extra strand of lights, and now I got to go get some more too. You put up a inflatable Darth Vader, which is one of our things we have, and you know, next thing you know, you look at the neighbor's house and they got more. So we got a good thing going.
Just want to be clear, that was an inflatable Darth Vader.
What did it sound like?
Nothing screams Christmas like Darth Vader.
Yes.
Oh yes, yes.
No, oh,
like, you know.
Okay.
Yeah.
I missed that part of Star Wars.
Small boys. We got small boys. Everything Star Wars is getting a thumbs up from them.
So Sam, as far as Christmas traditions, is Christmas Eve the bigger deal in the Amick house, or is it actually Christmas Day?
It's probably a you know, split the difference type of thing. So Christmas Eve ends up being the extended family, where I got my sister still lives in our hometown of Pleasanton, so we head down that way and hang out with my two sisters and their families and get the cousins together and have a good time. And then we make the drive back. My favorite part, because it was definitely a family tradition, was we've always wound up driving a lot on Christmas Eve, and so, you know, you got that late night drive back, where as a little guy, I'm looking out the window and pretty sure that I actually saw Santa Claus.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Every single year, I'd find him. And so that's still kind of the routine for our family. And then Christmas Day, this is one of those, you know, this is where the job affects things, because I'll be covering Warriors Cavs. But last year it was in Cleveland, so I didn't make the trek out to that game. But this year, being in Oakland, we'll have a kind of a truncated Christmas morning before I head out, do my thing, and then actually circle back with everybody down in the Bay later in the day. So that is the itinerary.
Well, it's a full Christmas day for Sammy Amick there. Since you brought up the Cavs, there's all sorts of rumors about Isaiah Thomas's return. We've heard next week. We've heard January. What do you know about a potential return for IT to Cleveland?
Yeah, I mean, he's been pushing, and, you know, back when I had talked to him a few weeks ago, he was pushing for mid-December, and I thought by this point, to be honest, that I thought he'd be coming back, like, right about now. And I don't think there have been any setbacks, but I think it's more, you know, the Cavs, perhaps even more so than Isaiah, are being conservative with this thing and just making sure that he's ready to rock. I expect to see him in early January, you know, probably not before then. And the Christmas Day game, obviously, he's not expected to play in that. But, you know, who knows? These guys' human body is a funny thing, and he played with the G League team today and tweeted about something about how, you know, can I still make the All-Star team? So he's obviously feeling pretty good, and he must have looked good out there, I'm sure. So, you know, pretty soon they're going to get him back, and that's a huge get for those guys.
And, of course, that game, you know, it's Christmas. It'll have a lot of attention with the Warriors. What do you think about the Warriors' run here again, Sam? I mean, they won another double-digit win streak. It's at 10, and I think this one feels a little different because Steph's been out a lot of it. Draymond's missed some. I think the other day they had Iguodala and Livingston out. I mean, obviously they're really, really talented, but how impressed are you with just even ripping off another 10-game win streak without several key guys?
Yeah, I mean, and they're winning some close games. I mean, close being relative. You know, that Memphis game had a few moments. The Lakers before that, you know, obviously as close as it comes, going to overtime. So they are not as dominant. I mean, and I'm looking at their schedule here. I mean, before that, you beat Dallas by 5, Portland by 7, Detroit by 4, and that's when they had the first game without Steph, I believe. Another one before that was Charlotte. So they're doing their thing. I mean, that is the luxury of having a roster that is that stacked. And so even with all these injuries, even with last night, you know, being down 4 starters, I believe, they find a way to kind of have that chameleon element and component to what they do. It changes the way they play. Kevin Durant's got to be much more OKC version of KD than he, you know, is the guy that he's been with the Warriors. But not a shocker. I mean, it's going to be fun when the Warriors and Rockets finally start running into each other. We got one coming up on the 4th in Houston, and then I don't think I'm going to that one, but I am going to go later in that same month, January 20th, they play again. I mean, these two teams are, in the West, are just head and shoulders above everybody else right now.
Yeah, Warriors very quietly won 10 straight. It's amazing. Yeah. I was like, oh, right. Wait, really?
Yeah.
They won 10 in a row?
Right.
Oh, okay. Wow. Right. Sam Amick, our KHTK NBA insider, USA Today with us here on the Lowdown. Is there a team in the Western Conference that you're particularly impressed with? Minnesota seems to have kind of starting to get a little bit of a rhythm, but outside of the obvious, by the way, outside of the Golden States and the Houstons, is there a team that you're looking at like, oh, okay, I can see come January, February, this team could be tough to deal with?
Honestly, San Antonio is still the only one, and they're trying to find their way when, you know, now that they have Kawhi back. It has, you know, it's been a little bit herky-jerky so far. They've won three in a row now. But San Antonio is it for me, because Minnesota, I like watching them. I'm happy for the T-Wolves fans because, barring a late-season collapse, you know, their playoff drought that is the longest in the NBA is going to come to an end. But I just don't believe that they can make any real impact in the playoffs. Maybe I'll wind up being wrong, but, you know, I don't think they're deep enough. I think the minutes that these guys have logged and the way that they get kind of grinded into the ground by Tibbs, I just haven't loved the vibe coming out of Minnesota. They're very inconsistent. So San Antonio is the one, and I think their depth and their bench and all those intangibles are going to be huge. In fact, you know, former King Rudy Gay, can he keep playing well and trying to, you know, give them even more impact? And then can, you know, Kawhi and LaMarcus coexist as well as possible, because they just seem to, you know, one seems to kind of take away from the other instead of augmenting what each other does, if that makes sense. And so they've got stuff to navigate through, but, you know, the potential with San Antonio is definitely there.
Sam, Houston lost their win streak yesterday, and Chris Paul in the game, it doesn't sound like it's too severe. What do you know about his health going forward?
Yeah, I mean, it's not the same, you know, it's a leg, and it's not the same side that the knee injury that kept him out from game one to whatever it was, game 16, something like that. So it doesn't seem too serious. I also thought it was kind of a funny debate last night, because everybody was saying it's the first time Chris has lost as a member of the Rockets, you know, and I don't know if he should be taking blame for that loss. He left it, you know, left the game early, and they probably win that game if he didn't get hurt and he actually finishes. So, you know, they're going to be fine. The timing is bad for I guess storyline purposes, because they have their first game against his old team, the Clippers, is on Friday, is tomorrow. And so, you know, that drama is not going to be there. It's going to be Doc Rivers and his group against the Rockets without Chris. But they're a tremendous squad, man. They need to make sure that the defense stays at the high level that it has been to this point in the season. I mean, you give up 122 to a Lakers team that's not very good offensively, that's a terrible look for them defensively yesterday. And I learned, you know, we've seen from the Rockets the last couple of years that at times they would actually be decent defensively, but they have had a hard time sustaining it and truly making it part of their identity. And I think we've talked before about how with Chris Paul and Clint Capella and Ariza and PJ Tucker and all these guys, like, you know, they're ready to be a good defensive team, but that's what I'm going to be watching for them the next couple of weeks and months, is can they actually hold on to that trade?
Sammy, I'm looking at the standings right now, and you have the Pacers kind of at the fourth seed of the Eastern Conference. They're 18-14.
Right.
You look at Portland, they're the fifth seed in the Western Conference. They're 16-15. Is this just the first time I'm paying attention to numbers like this? Is this unusual? Like, this just doesn't feel impressive with, you know, 30 some odd games into the season, and I think we have five teams at single digit losses.
Yeah, no, it's not. I mean, even if you don't go by this the single digit parameter, Damian, like, let's just go, you know, like, to me, 22-10 for the Spurs, like, that's a really good record.
Sure.
You know what I mean? So we'll be generous and we'll just say, I mean, what you're basically saying is there are only six teams that are not sniffing 500.
Well, yeah, exactly. Everyone's hovering around 500.
Right. And I mean, that part is a little bit disheartening, because it's been a fun season. There are a lot of storylines, but because of what you're talking about and the body of work that we're now seeing as we get close to the season's halfway point, is that now we're projecting, you know, toward the postseason and what truly matters and who's truly going to make some noise. It's kind of a bummer that right now, it you know, like you asked me about who's impressing you in the West, and I'm looking at the fourth seed in the West saying, nope, I don't buy Minnesota, you know, and same type of thing in the East. You know, the Pacers are a surprising story, but I'm definitely not buying them as a team that's going to threaten the Cavs or the Raptors or the Celtics. So you do have a little bit of that, the haves and the have-nots component that is pretty bad this year. And the East is not as, you know, earlier in the season, it was even stronger than it is now. We had more teams in the middle of the pack that were pushing harder and better than they are now, but it seems to have kind of leveled out a little bit.
Sam, from earlier in the week, did you go to Kobe's ceremony? Did you cover that?
Yep. I was down there.
And what were the highlights of that for you?
It was weird, man. I mean, it's it was fine. It's just, I don't know how to explain it. You know, it's, I feel like in the moment I was just kind of there and I just kind of went and did what I had to do and wrote a column. And, but for some reason in the days following, I've just reflected on it and I just find the whole event a little bizarre.
Why is that?
Perfect. What's that?
Yeah. Why is that?
Just because it's so, I respect the heck out of Kobe's career, but I think it admittedly it's, just the way that it was so, everything was so Kobe, you know, we're going to retire two jerseys instead of one. We're not, you know, you could even have put the two jersey numbers on one jersey maybe and had just one spot on the wall, but now there's going to be two spots on the wall. You know, you had Kobe Land outside, you know, with the, it was just so over the top. I guess that's it. And I know it's Lakers Land and I know it's the entertainment capital of the world, but I also, you know, I mean, the day is going to have to come for that organization when you don't have to look backward to celebrate, you know, and that was one of my other takeaways was, you know, you're in that building and you're reflecting on what Kobe did during his career and the greatness is everywhere. Like the fun part for me of that night was Kareem sitting there 20 feet away from Kareem and Bill Russell, who were sitting next to each other in the stands. That was really cool. Allen Iverson is there. All these great players, the Warriors being the opponent that night, you had greatness on the court with Kevin Durant, Steph Curry, all of their guys who are future Hall of Famers. Like the elephant in the room, so to speak, was that nobody in purple and gold, you know, looks like they're even sniffing greatness. You know, Kyle Kuzma is a nice player, but the Lakers are becoming masters at celebrating their past because they have not been able to fix their present. And that, you know, that was one of my main takeaways.
It was a hell of a take.
Yeah, it was.
Wow, I was not prepared for that. Well, I don't remember where I was going to go. I'm so just.
I didn't mean to throw you.
No, you know what it was. I know what it was. You also got to throw the pod some love. You guys talked to Kareem.
Yeah, no, Kareem was good. Kareem was good. I appreciate it as always, Damian. He hopped on to talk about his book and some of the work he did with or does with Coaches Versus Cancer. And it was actually not a lot of X's and O's talk. He talked a lot about social issues and the way that today's athletes have found their voice and what his perspective was on that. He talked about, actually had a nice little moment with my colleague, Jeff Zilgit, because Jeff, as you guys know, has been fighting colon cancer and Kareem has dealt with cancer himself. And so they kind of just talked about life and got a little bit reflective. So good conversation. And he's obviously a beyond a legend. So it was fun to have him on.
A to Z podcast, latest edition is up there. Go check it out. Sam, I will tell you before we hang up, Ty Lue confirmed while we were talking that Isaiah Thomas will not play on Christmas Day against the Golden State Warriors. Sam,
there it is.
I think we'll be able to talk to you next Wednesday before the new year. So have a great Christmas. And I know Christmas Day is very busy for you and anyone who covers the NBA. So have a great Christmas. Have fun. And we'll talk to you next week.
Same to you guys and both your families. Thank you.
Thank you.
We appreciate you. That is Sam Amick, our KHTK NBA insider. That was interesting from someone who was there.
Yeah. Said it was very Kobe-like.